This is Cheryl McQuaid with the Lansing Fish Abadi Historical Team. Today is December 7th, 2005. It's approximately 9:15 a.m. We're at the UAW 602 Union Hall, preparing to interview Sal Salazar. First, we're going to state everybody else that's in the room.
Doreen Howard.
Marilyn Coulter.
And Sal, could you state your name and spell your last name for the tape?
Excuse me. First name is Carino. They call me Sal at Fish Abadi, and my last name is Salazar. It's S-A-L-A-Z-A-R.
And how do you spell your first name?
My first name is Q-U-I-R-I-N-O.
And what is your address?
3200 North Cedar, Lansing, Michigan.
And Sal, do you remember the day you hired in?
I hired in October 15th, 1968.
Excuse me. Do you remember why you wanted to work at Fish Abadi?
Well, I had just got out of the Army and I didn't have a job, so that was the best place to get into. Everybody was getting hired in, Fish Abadi and Oldsmobile, so I applied at both and got hired at Fish Abadi.
Do you remember your first day at Fish Abadi?
Oh, that's a long time. I think I came in, took the physical, and they wanted me to, they asked me if I was ready to start work. I said, yeah, I'm ready. But they told me to come the following day, so, you know, that's as much as I can remember. But I know I hired in, I went into installing door handles on the, I think it was a B-line. It was they built the 88s, Tornado and that.
So what did you think about the job that they gave you about walking into this place?
At first it's scary, you know. You come in here and everybody's looking at you. It's like when you go into prison, you know, like they say, oh, new meat. Well, that's the way we felt, you know. We could hear people saying, hey, new meat, new blood or whatever, you know. But it was scary at first, you know. You don't know what you got to get into. But like me, I had worked in the fields when I was 8 years old, so I was used to hard work, and I said, well, this should be a piece of cake. But when it started out, it was hard. It was really hard, you know. But I had a good guy breaking me in. Yeah. His name was Jose Cortez. And he, because I was trying to rush everything. I remember I had cuts on my arms because you had to install the door handles and tighten them down with a air tool.
Yeah. So you were reaching inside the door?
Yeah.
That was why you got the cuts on your
hands? Yep. And back those times, I don't think you had protectors or anything, you know. And it was hard. Like, I couldn't keep up. He finally told me to slow down, you know. He said, just take it a step at a time and learn the job. And from there, it didn't take me long to learn it.
And how long did you do that job?
Jeez, I don't know. I was on days for the first 90 days that I can remember. And then I got bumped to nights. And I think I remember I was doing, door mullings or something like that on the 88s on nights. Well, I can't remember how long I did that. And then after that, I went into absentee replacement, which was utility. You know? And heck, I did that for a long time. I think most of the time that I was in Fish Abadi, I did that.
So you said that you were on days for the first 90 days, and then you went to the second shift.
Right.
Do you remember the difference between day shift and night shift, if there was a difference?
Night shift, there was a lot of young kids, you know, like me. I was, and day shift, there were older guys, you know, probably Los Señoritos on nights. Yeah. That was louder.
How old were you?
I was 21. Yeah. 21, 22.
Marilyn Coulter.
Do you remember, was there any kind of, since you were considered new meat, was there any kind of pranks or initiation type things that they did either on the day shift or the night shift when you first got there?
Well, I know in Thanksgiving they always say, yeah, you got to go down the union hall to get your free turkey or something, but that was the only prank. They never gave you turkeys or anything. Yeah.
Okay. Were there any types of jokes or anything that were played on the site? Things that kind of pass the time?
Well, I used to work with this guy named Jim Swain. And me and him, we used to do a lot of pranks, you know, to each other.
So what type of a prank? What would be a prank that you two would pull?
Well, when we were sleeping in the bench, we usually tape our feet together, you know, something like that. Or a lot of times we put stuff in our lunch buckets. And yeah, we used to do a lot of stuff. But yeah, you had to do something just to pass the time of day, you know, make the time go faster.
Cheryl McQuaid. Sal, I forgot to ask you, are you married? Do you have children?
I'm married, yes. I got three children. Yeah, I got two boys and a girl.
Does any of your other family work at the plant?
I got my son works at the Cadillac plant with the Grand River Assembly plant. Yeah, he's a team leader out there. Yeah, when I retired, he got hired in, so you know, that worked out pretty good. Yeah.
And you said you were raised on a farm?
Yeah, yeah.
So your parents were farmers?
No, my dad was a boss. He was for the farm there. Yeah, we used to weed onions and carrots and all that stuff. Yeah.
Doreen Howard.
On your bio sheet, it says that you were born in San Antonio, Texas. How long did you live there before you came to this area?
Well, I think I was 6 years old when we came down to Michigan and stayed for good. That's as far as I can remember, because we used to, you know, we were like immigrants. We used to
like
migrant workers come down during the summer and work and then go back. Yeah.
So, like you said, you were used to hard labor.
Yeah.
And when you came into the factory, you thought that it was the work was just as hard, or it's just that it was different, or to you, or what was it comparison to doing the manual labor that you did in the fields?
Well, once I got used to working at the factory, it was a lot easy for me. You know, that was easy. It was simple. You know, you learned the job, and that was it. You do it day in, day out. You didn't have to be in the sun or anything. So, yeah, that was easy for me. Yeah.
Marilyn Coulter.
How long have you been a resident of Lansing?
Oh, since 78.
Since 78.
Yeah.
Okay, so your job brought you to Lansing to live?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I used to live in Stanton. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Sheridan. And then when I got married, we moved to Stanton. We were there, I don't know, maybe a couple of years. Because I had to drive from Stanton all the way to Lansing, which was almost 60-some miles every day.
Did you ever carpool?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think about that?
Well, it was all right, because my brother-in-laws, they all work here at Fisherbody, and we all drove together. Yeah.
Marilyn Coulter.
So how many brother-in-laws do you have? How much family do you have working at Fisherbody?
Well, let's see. I had seven. There were seven brothers that worked there at Fisherbody. And brother-in-laws, I think there was three of them. And then I had two that worked at Oldsmobile. Let's see, my sister-in-law and my nephew work at Fisher. Then I got another nephew that works at Ohl's. And then I got a few cousins that work here at Fisher. And some more at Oldsmobile, so, you know, we're... I can't count them. There's
so
a lot of them.
So you're a true GM family, huh?
Right.
What kind of vehicles do you drive?
Oh, I got a Suburban. Yeah. And my daughter got a Grand Am. My younger son's got a S10. Yeah, we all drive. We drive a GM.
Doreen Howard.
You have a very large extended family that work here. Did they all come in around the same time that you were hired in? Or did they, and obviously some of them hired in after the fact, but as far as your brothers who are, I assume, close in your age, did they hire in around the same time that you did?
Well, I think there was five of them that got hired before I did.
Before you did?
Yeah. Let's see, five, six, yeah, because I was the sixth one hired in.
The other question that I have is, as a Hispanic, when you first came into Fisher Body, was there a lot of other Hispanics already working for the company, or were you and your other family members being brought in because you were of Hispanic descent?
Well, when I hired them, there was quite a few, yeah. Quite a few, yeah. I know when they're in that one area when I hired in, there was a lot of them, and maybe five or six of them right there in that one area, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hired in Trim, so, you know, there was a lot of them, yeah. And my brother-in-laws were already in here. My brothers were already in here, yeah. There was quite a few, yeah.
Marilyn Coulter.
So, when you hired in here, did you primarily hear about it from your brothers? Did one brother, like, tell another brother they're hiring, or how did you find out about the work here?
Well, my older brother got hired in, and, you know, he was doing good, so, you know, my other brother got hired in. They were all doing good, so I said, well, I think that's the place for me to work. But I was working... when I graduated, I started out in the cafeteria. I worked in, washing dishes, pots and pans. You know, I started from the bottom.
So you worked in the cafeteria in?
At Fisher.
At Fisherman.
Yeah.
Is that when the cafeteria was in the basement?
No, it was upstairs.
It was upstairs,
yeah.
Then.
And how long did you do that?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. So... as working in the cafeteria, what were your responses? You all you did was wash dishes there. That was it.
No, I pushed the wagon.
And what was the wagon?
What was the wagon?
Yeah, what was the wagon?
Okay, the wagon. We used to sell coffee, donuts, sandwiches, and everything to the workers.
So, what did the wagon mean to you when you became a worker?
It was like a break. Well, it was a break. And you see the wagon coming, you were ready for break, go get a coffee and sit down, you know. I think it was 6-minute break or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
No, was it something that came out just in the morning or morning and afternoon?
I think it was once in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet you never had an idea of what that wagon meant when you were out there serving folks, did you?
No, for me as a worker, it was just something I had to do, but it was hard because I had to push the wagon, you know. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, you met a lot of guys, you know, that were working on the line.
Now, because you had already worked in the cafeteria, did that make the transition for you on the line easier? Did you see people that you had already known that you might have seen when you worked in the cafeteria? Did that make it easier for you, or just the fact that you already had family here?
Well, I think it made it easier because I knew a lot of the guys already. You know, you maybe like, they were like fathers to me, you know. you know, they took me under their wings and that. So, yeah, it made it a lot easier.
So,
because I knew the way around it, you know. I could see the workers every time, you know, I check them out.
What did you think of the workers when you brought the wagon down? Did you know that you were as much of a relief to them as you were?
I don't know what I meant to them, but I know they enjoyed the wagon, the coffee and the donuts and all that. And you know, there were some that, you know, you're going to find some that are always playing jokes on you and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think... yeah, they kind of enjoyed the wagon, yeah. I think everybody looked forward to it.
What kind of jokes were played on you?
Yeah, sometimes they come behind and poke you or something, yeah. Yeah, I guess everybody used to do that on the line, yeah. But, they used to whistle, you know, like when you're going down the aisle and all that stuff.
Did any of your brothers give you any pointers on how to get along in the factory when you were finally hired in?
I don't think they ever did. You know, because when I hired in, they were mostly in the body shop. And then one of my brothers that was in the trim, he was in the Army when I got hired. He got drafted, yeah. So really, they just told me just do the work and, you know.
Did you ever serve any military time?
Yeah, I did 2 years regular Army and then 20 years in the National Guards. Yeah. But I got drafted before I got hired in. And I was in the cafeteria when I got drafted. Yeah.
And did you ever see any layoffs, or were you involved in any strikes?
Well, I think we were, I don't know how many strikes, but yeah, we were on strike for quite a while. At one time, I can't remember what year it was.
Do you remember what you were on strike for?
Jeez, that's a good one. I can't even... I think it was, pay. It was a pay issue and working conditions, I think. It was so way back, yeah.
Health and safety issues?
Yeah, I think so.
And what about layoffs? Were you ever laid off?
Yeah, I was laid off for 3 months. I think all embargo was that. Yeah, they cut back quite a bit, so they send me on nights. And I think I had about 10 years seniority, something like that, maybe less. And I figured, I'm not, you know, I probably won't get laid off. Well, I got laid off. I was laid off for 3 months.
And what was that like for the family?
Well... it wasn't too bad because we were getting sub pay in that at that time, and that wasn't really bad for me because I only had one kid, and you know that wasn't really bad because I spent a lot of time in Texas. I was on vacation, so it wasn't really bad. Yeah.
When you hired in 68, I'm sure you've noticed a big change in the working conditions at the plant from the time you hired in to the time you retired. Could you explain maybe some of those to us?
Well, let's see. When I first hired in, it was dirty. You know, the floors, once in a while they swept them, you know, you drop a screw and they stayed there for 2 or 3 days. That right now, they had groups where, you know, you give them time off so they can sweep the floors and all that. It was really clean. And notice the a lot of the tools were real heavy in that. So, you know, they made them more workers friendly, as you would say, you know, a lot easier to handle. If you needed anything back at that time, it was hard to get it. You'd probably have to go to the committee or what is that, your committee man, just to get something done. Now you can go to the foreman, you ask him for something, you know, they'll do it for you, you know, just to make your job easier. Yeah.
But, and you had mentioned that you didn't have a lot of protective equipment.
No, no.
Did you notice a change in that?
Yeah, because they give us gloves and sleeves, aprons. Back then you didn't have nothing, probably maybe an apron to carry your screws and bolts or whatever. Yeah, but it was hard. Yeah.
Marilyn Coulter.
Did you have to have protective eyewear back then in 1968?
Yeah.
So that was the only protection that you did have was for your eyes?
Yeah.
Were there other Latinos there? Were there other minorities and or women in trim shop when you hired in?
Yeah. Yep, there were.
It was quite a bit.
When I hired in, there was a girl that hired in with me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How had that changed during your time from 68 to when you left, retired.
Brother. You mean hiring a minority or what?
Did the demographics change? Did it seem like they hired more, or did it pretty much seem the same or less? What would you say?
I think they hired more.
Feel like it.
Yeah, because now they're blacks, Orientals, Hispanics. There's all kinds in there now. You know, there's a lot of different races. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Were those people represented when you hired in 68?
There was a lot of Hispanics and blacks when I hired them, but I didn't see any Orientals. Mm-hmm. But now all that changed. You know, there's a lot of them, you know, different kinds. Yeah, but they were all good workers. You know.
So you came in when it was Fisher Body and you left when it was LCA. How did that change to, what is it to you? Is it Fisher Body? Is it LCA? And how did you feel about the changes?
At first I couldn't get used to it, you know, because Fisher Body was always Fisher Body. And then it was LCA I don't know, it changed about 3 or 4 times. And I could always, you know, they always ask me, where'd you work? I said, Fisher Body. You know, that's the main name for this plant was Fisher Body. It's hard to get used to it.
As the names changed, so did some of the theories and the practices and changed. What are some of the different types of changes with employees and supervision did you see over the years?
I noticed there was more input from the employees towards the end. You know, there was a lot of, they went into a team build and they had groups that worked together. But when I hired in, everybody was separate, you know. You work on your own. You know, there was no communication between the workers, union, or the foremen and the management. Now there's more communication between all of them. Yeah.
Do you think that did that help to make it a better place to work and better quality vehicle?
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, because you knew, you know, we used, while I was a team leader, which was the group, when they first came out, I was a group leader, or whatever they call them, EPG leader. What was that, participation leader, or whatever group?
The employee participation group
Yeah,
leader.
There you go. And We used to have meetings once a week, and then we relayed that to the team. And they would tell us, you know, what was wrong with the, you know, what was that coming out of your department, you know, like repair or anything, and how many cars you used to build a day and all that. You take it back to the group, and you, you know, have meetings with them and let them know, you know, what was going on, what they were getting in repair. So, you know, it would let them know if they were doing a good job or not, you know.
How did, as names change, how did the supervisory, how did supervision change? Or was there a change?
Or what?
Or was there a change?
I think there was a change in the supervision. It was like, you know, like the employees, a lot of them didn't like it. I guess management didn't like it either, you know, because it was given, we were getting more input, employees were getting more input in how the jobs were set up, and they kind of didn't like that. You know, they were used to, hey, you do the job and you do it this way, you know. Well, now, you know, if you can find a better way to do it, they'll listen to you. Mm-hmm. Like before, no, you do it this way, you know. They were set in there, you know. You do it one way, and that's the way it's supposed to be done. Now, you know, it's different.
Now, towards the end, before you retired, they went from having supervisors who came up through rank and file to having what was called contract supervisors from the outside. Did you find a big change between the two of them?
I don't think I did.
Okay, for you, you didn't.
Okay. I know. There at the end when I retired, there was a lot of the team leaders, mm-hmm, that actually ran the line, because we used to tell foremen, you sit in the office, we need you. You know, we'll call you. You know, if there's a problem. This is, but other than that, just stay in your office. We'll take care of the line, you take care of the business stuff. So. And it worked out pretty good, because I had pretty good bosses. You know.
Doreen Howard.
Over your time here, I'd like to know, how has the quality changed? Fisher Body was known as the capital of quality. And what do you think is the reasons for that?
Well, I think it's because a lot of the older workers already knew what to do. You know, they had a lot of seniority. And year in, year out, we used to build a lot of quality cars here. You know, there were hot items, you know, like the F-85s and, you know, the muscle cars, the 442s, the Tornados. They were all great cars, you know. They were high-quality cars.
And did that quality change over time in any way?
Well, I think towards the end, it started getting even better. You know, because the parts were coming in better. They fit better and all that. And I don't know, there was more training, you know, before you used to have changeover. You know, they kick you out for 2 weeks and they bring you in and you learn right on the job, you know. Now they bring you in and you do off-site, you know, on a new model. They give you the parts and that, and you practice before you go on out on the line, so, you know, you're going to get better quality. Yeah, you know. I've seen that change quite a bit. Yeah, you know. You do a lot of schooling before you go into the plant and do the actual work on the line. Yeah.
Cheryl McCoy. Sal, I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask you to think back to a typical day when you first hired in. How far was it from your job to the parking lot, from your job to the time clock? What did you have to do to prepare to get ready to do your job? Can you remember any of that stuff?
Dave. Well, I knew it. They had a time clock. You had to time in, and then you have, I think it was 6 minutes. 6 minutes. It was six minutes before the line went, before you punched out. That was a wash-up time. But towards the parking lot, I think it was pretty far, because I used to work way on one end, and then I had to walk all the way across. But a typical day, when I first hired in, we used to work 10 and a half hours, I think it was. A lot of times we get here, when I was on nights, I remember I got here and the guys were still working. The line was still running. Then they stopped for 6 minutes, and we jump in, and the line kept running. That was only 6 minutes difference. And we ran for 10 and a half, 11 hours every day. That was tough.
Doreen Howard.
You talked about punching a card to come in and out of work. You had a physical time punch card in the beginning versus what type of system did they have later on?
Yeah, it was a regular time card with a clock. You punched it in. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end, all you had it was just a card that you do it through the gate, and that was it. Yeah.
Like an electronic type system.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I still got my old one.
And you talked about something called wash-up time. What was that, and why did you get that? And explain a little bit about what you mean by wash-up time.
I think the contract, it calls for a 6-minute wash-up time that they give you so you could wash up before you punch out. I think that's what it was.
So that was a contractual issue that
right.
At the end of the shift that everyone, the line shut down and you were able to go and clean up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long did that continue for?
Ooh. I can't remember when it stopped. Yeah. It was 10 years, 68, but 78, 79, maybe longer. I can't really remember.
Before the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. Cheryl McCoy. Sal, do you remember what a typical lunch was, what you did?
For me, lunchtime was, I had my own lunch. I never went up to the cafeteria or anything. And all I did was just sit around and read the paper. Yeah, that was I never went out of the area. But once in a while we play cards. But a lot of times I read the paper.
Yeah. What kind of cards did you play?
Yeah, euchre.
Euchre?
Yeah.
Did you ever play any of the check pools or football pools?
Oh, that was a big thing, yeah. Football pools, yeah.
You enjoyed the football pools?
Yeah.
Were those big money?
Oh. At the Super Bowl, it's pretty big money, but other than that, it was just regular. Yeah. Not too much.
Do you have... One of the grandkids said, what was it like to work in the plant? Do you have a favorite memory? What would you tell them?
That's a good one. what would I tell them?
Or maybe do you have a favorite supervisor, a favorite partner, coworker?
The one that I worked most was Jim Swain. They used to call him Cowboy. Me and him, we set up this one game that we used to do. We found the cranks for the windows with a stamp sticking out. Then we found some rubber donuts, like I think from the body shop or someplace, or paint department. And we used to play ringers all day. That's what we used to do, spend the time. We do one job, we see how many ringers we could get.
Throw the donuts on and try to hit the crank?
Yeah, there was a stem on there like horseshoes, you know, the ringers. And we played that just about all day, yeah.
In between cars, whenever the line broke down, that type of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any, what type of music was in the plant?
Music. There was a lot of country western. When I was on nights, there was a lot of rock, loud. You know, the young kids. they used to really crank it up real loud. But there you find all kinds of music, yeah. A lot of music.
Do you remember any radio wars?
When I was on nights, yeah. I know a lot of people would complain, you know, that radios were too loud or something, yeah. Yep, I remember those.
Marilyn Coulter.
Sal, I know you have kids and you have a lot of family here. Do you remember at the holiday time purchasing things from employees that may have made items? Did you purchase any of those types of items? Did you sell any of those types of items?
Yeah, I can't remember if I did or not.
Ah.
But, I think with it, that rock candy and that peanut brittle. I used to buy some of that and take it home.
Yeah. Now, were you ever active in your union? Did you go to union meetings?
Just when I had to vote.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, I don't think I ever did.
Did you attend any of the union picnics? Were you ever on any of the union sports teams or anything like that?
Yeah. We played softball. We were in the softball team, yeah.
Now, I know for a fact that you also were involved in a bowling league, yes?
Yes.
And that basically consists, your team was primarily your family, wasn't it?
Yeah, most of them, yeah. I think I had my son, my brother-in-law, and nephews. Yeah, we ball at the 602 league.
How long have you done that?
Well, in the league, the 602 league, I think we did it for about 10 years. Yeah. And finally it broke up because a lot of the teams were dropping off. So.
How many of your members have rings?
I think, let's see, my brother's got one. No, I think he's got two or three, 300 rings. My son's got two of them, and I got one of them. And I think that's about it.
So oftentimes you were one of the teams to beat, yes?
Yes.
Cheryl McCoy, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. What are the rings?
There's you get a ring for a 300 game, which is a perfect game, 12 strikes in one game.
Oh, very impressive.
And then you can get one for $299, $298, and then you can get one for 800 series. Yeah, I finally hit mine last year, so after about 30 years of bowling.
Played in the same league. Yeah. Side of that. What would you say was your most appreciated benefit that was bargained for you?
I think that 30 and on, I think, was the best. Of course, the cost of living was pretty good. And then the every time the health insurance, that was a big item there. You know, before you had to pay out of your pocket. Now everything was free. Yep. So, yeah. That was about the biggest item there. Now they're trying to take it away from us. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear, or we have to pay for it. So, I guess you got to give something back, I guess. I don't know.
Doreen Howard.
Was anyone in your family or your family's extended children able to take advantage of the TAP program? The tuition assistance to receive additional education at all?
I don't know if they did or not. I know my kids didn't, but I don't know if my brother's kids did or not.
Marilyn Coulter?
Sal, you've retired, and now Fisher Body Lansing is getting ready to be no more. The plant has closed. What do you think about that? Did you ever think the plant was going to close? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't think it was ever going to close. You know. I think the way they were building the cars, I said, no. I knew it was getting old, but, you know, there was always something being built. You know, they always, you'd be on the line, you could see the workers building stuff, you know.
But. How does it make you feel knowing that your seven brothers, your three in-laws, and your family had a chance and an opportunity to work at Fisher Body Lansing, and now with the changing times, that may not be the same for all of your children. How does that make you feel?
I don't think it makes me feel good. I know that. I mean, it's something else. It's hard because, you know, Fisher Body always gave you a good job, and, you know, good living. And now that it's closed, you know, I've seen a lot of the guys that work there that are laid off. They said it's hard for them because they got, you know, they got kids, they got bills, they got this, they got that. And it's not the same thing as being working, you know. But I know my kids ain't going to have a chance to work a Fisher Body anymore, so, you know, it's kind of sad. Yeah.
Sal, I really appreciate you coming in for an interview. Is there anything that we've not asked you that you would like to talk to about?
Let me see. Excuse me. Yeah, I had, like, different jobs, you know. Like, man, I did everything. I did door build. I did, I worked at body shop, you know, because that was utility. They used to send me out to the body shop. I did paint department. You know, I worked at the cushion room. You know, when I got laid off, they called me back in because you leveled off, and they called me back in, and I was in the cushion room. That's when I was separate, and I found that to be real hard for me. Yeah, it was real hard in the cushion room.
Sal, can you explain what leveling off is for those people who don't know what leveling off is?
Leveling off, you sign, when you get laid off, they, you sign like a, I don't know, leveling off sheet or whatever. And if you got more seniority than somebody that's working or they need you in a different department, you can take that job. And then you can transfer back to your own department. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Out of all the different departments that you worked in, which one did you prefer the most, and which one did you least like?
I think the one that I least liked was cushion row. I don't know why. I could never keep up with that. Yeah, they had that old guns, you know, real heavy. Mm-hmm. You staple the seats to the bottom, you know, the cushion and all that. The best was trim. I like the trim. Because I always worked trim department. Mm-hmm. And then they put us up on the door line, which they went into a new build where they took the doors off instead of building them right on the car. And I was a group leader for that, and I liked that because I had took care of 10 people, five on each side. And by giving, you know, I would fix their stuff when they couldn't fix it, or, you know, would repair. They couldn't finish their job, I would, you know, do it. I'd check, make sure everything was done right. If I had extra time, I would give them time off the line to do whatever they wanted to do, you know. I'd give them a break or whatever. I don't know. I'd try to keep them all happy. But I remember back when I first hired in, that was on nights, and then I got married in 69, and I was living in Stanton, and at that time it was hard for me because I had to drive. At first I started out by myself, and I found some guys that worked with me on the night shift that were coming from I think it was Ionia, Stanton, Sheridan, you know, small towns from up north. So we carpooled. And then finally I decided, well, you know, I'm going to try to go on days. So once I started looking at the seniority list, and I found somebody that had less seniority, well, I'd go and learn that job, you know, on my own time. And when I did that, then I would tell the foreman, hey, I want to bump this guy. Which was, you know, if he had low seniority, you could take his job. And I wanted to go on days, so. Yeah, I would find the guy that had low seniority, so I bump him. Well, sure enough, that guy had the worst job in the whole trim department or whatever. You know, it didn't matter whether it was the A line or the B line, you know. But yeah, I remember doing the tornadoes, doing the speakers. I used to carry cardboard, throw it in the trunk, and then lay in the trunk and put the speakers in. And sure enough, I would get bumped 1 week, and the following week I'd bump right back. The worst job you can find. And that would, I think I did the cruisers, the Vista cruisers, wagons. I used to climb inside and did the skylines, whatever they call that. I used to do that.
Headliners?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like a headliner, yeah. Then in the tornadoes, I used to do the same thing. I used to climb in and out every day. Yeah. But I used to do the worst jobs there was. I remember a lot of times I, you know, hey, I got to stay on days. I got to do the worst job there is. But you always, there was always one guy that you knew on the seniority list, you know, and you always follow him. If he went on days, that's where you're going. And every time I'd be the same way, you know, somebody was right behind me, had more seniority, 1 or 2 days, and sure enough, he right after me.
Doreen Howard.
You talked about a few of the different jobs that you've done. You said you did quite a few jobs. How did that affect you physically, doing these jobs? You said you had one where you had to lay down in the trunks and ones you had to climb in and out of. Doing that on a daily basis seems like it would be awfully hard on your body. Or were you young enough at that time that you didn't really
I think I was young
really
enough. Yeah. I think I was young enough that I didn't notice that. You know, but towards the end there you start getting old. Like when I know when I got to be 50 years old, I start feeling everything. And actually I never went on sick leave or anything. I was never on sick leave. And I don't think I ever missed any days either. And vacations, the only vacations I used to take was when we had changeover. And then finally I started taking vacations because we used to go to bowling tournaments with the national bowling tournaments. And that was different cities, you know. We went to like Salt Lake City, Texas, Alabama, Reno, you know. So that was my vacation there. But
Doreen Howard, how did working that many hours and being on a second shift, how did that affect your family?
Well, my wife didn't like it too good, but she liked the money. But then, I don't know. Like I said, I was on days quite a bit. I was hardly on nights. But then I spent, when I got laid off way back, I think I spent about 5 or 6 years on nights. And that was hard because, you know, we hardly seen each other, but I think we only had one kid at that time. And then when I had my second one, I volunteered to go on nights. I was on days. I traded with one guy for about a year because my wife was working, and she was working days. So, you know, I said, well, I'll go on nights and help you out. So, but, it, you know, it's hard, you know. I don't know, my two brothers, they spend most of their time on nights. They seem to like it. I never liked nights. It was rough for me. But, hey, you get used to it.
Now, the day shift, what hours was considered the day shift hours? And did they change from when you first hired in versus when you retired?
Yeah, it changed. I think it was it 6:30, something like that? It was 6:30 to maybe 4:30, something like that. And then I think nights was about 5, from 5 to 1 or 2 in the morning. But it changed. I think, I don't know, it was 6:40, 6, was it 12 minutes to 7 or something like that now? At the end? I can't even remember.
6:48.
Yeah. I know I used to come in, it was dark. You go out there, it was dark. Yeah. I remember, because I used to work on the inner line, and then there was another line towards the windows. They used to have windows up in trim. Well, I was on the inside, and a lot of times, if you wanted to see the sun, you go see it out the windows. And then they close the windows, and then you couldn't see anything. Yeah, you go in, it was dark, you come out, it was dark.
Marilyn Coulter, do you remember, like, what year they painted in the windows?
Jeez.
I mean, was it in the 70s, in the 80s?
I think it was in the 80s, I think, yeah. There was a lot of changes there. So,
did you have? You were able to work in the body shop and the trim shop. Did knowing those types of jobs help you on the outside at all? In fixing your own vehicles, doing
It did. Yeah, because I could take my car apart and put it back together if I wanted to. Yeah, it helped me quite a bit.
Did you develop, or do you have, like one friend that you met here and you still see outside the plant, you still stay in touch with now that you've retired?
No, I don't actually, you know, spend a lot of time with the guys that retired that we worked together, but I see Ark Austin, Sugar. I see Charlie Watts, Jeff Half. I just talked to John Sawyer, his boy. He's a bowler, so he gave me his phone number, and I talked to him. There's a guy that used to work small tool repair. I can't remember his name, but I got a stapling gun, a roofing nail here that I wanted to get fixed, and I called this one place, and when I took it over there, I seen him walking. I says, man, that guy works at Fisher Body. I knew that. And I asked him, he said, yeah, he said, that was a small tool repair. So he's got his own business. Yeah, I guess he retired in 98, something like that. So, you know, you run into a lot of guys that used to work at Fisher Body, but now they're doing something else. You know, there's another guy that I met. He was doing a parking lot, you know, driving one of them rollers where you do the blacktop. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't remember his name, but I said, didn't you work Fisher Body? He said, yeah. He retired in 98, 99, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, I helped my brother do this and do that. And I said, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, I run into a lot of guys that are doing side jobs, or, you know, doing something else. Yeah.
Are you doing something else?
Yes, I am.
What is it that you do now that you're retired?
I work at the golf course.
Yeah. Are we working or are we playing? Or a little of both?
Well, I try to do a little of both.
Yeah, what is it that you do now at the golf course?
Well, I do, I mow the greens, yeah, and the round the greens and the tee boxes and trim, mostly, you know, do the maintenance and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's all right. Yeah. I do it during the summer. During the winter, I just collect unemployment. So, not bad. Right. I think my older brother was working out at Chisholm Hill. Margo, he's working out in Hastings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know. Well, and then when I go play out at Highland Hill, there's a few guys out there that work at Fisher, and they're working out there. Yeah, they're doing part-time work out there. So, yeah.
Doreen Howard.
I had one last question. Were you ever involved in any of the community service programs at all through our plant or outside of the plant? Or involved in any of the blood drives or the food dinners or anything like that?
Yeah. I know I donate a lot of blood, but I don't think I ever did.
Mostly just in the athletic,
yeah,
you know, with the sports programs.
Yeah, I coached Little League, you know, for a long time, baseball. You know. I think I did that for about 20 years. I used to help the kids out in the north side. You know, we used to have a team. I get out of work and straight to the ball field. That was pretty good.
Well, that kept you very active within the community with a group of young kids playing ball.
Yeah, now they see me and they call me coach. And I say, who's this guy? I can't remember where they are.
Okay.
Sal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
All righty.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you.